The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
All right, we are back. Sorry we've been off for 2 weeks, but we are back, and this is a two-parter episode entitled The Pilot. So this episode deals with the pilot episode of Jerry and George's pilot on NBC that they do sort of based on Jerry's life. And we get to meet the cast of characters who are going to play Jerry and his friends, amongst other things. So, Michael, what did you think of this episode?
This episode is it's pretty damn funny, and I like it because it's one of the first instances of a meta narrative that I've ever had the joy of watching. And it's so bizarre, you know, to see this comedian named Jerry Seinfeld have a show called Seinfeld doing
no,
a
it's
show.
Called, this, no, the show, weirdly enough, is called Jerry.
Right. He's the guy doing a real show called Seinfeld doing a fake show called Jerry. And it's, I don't know, man. It's just funny to me, man. It's just funny to me. And the fact that they revisit like this idea of having a show later on in the series.
Yeah.
Is pretty great, man. The what I love is like Earth 2 stuff, right? Like to see what an alternate version of someone would be.
Right.
And having the cast of Jerry come in and pretend to be the cast of Seinfeld is a joy to me. Yeah. And especially with Jeremy Piven as
he's so good
as George. Like he's really, really good.
Oh.
And George's reaction to the whole thing.
It's like, is this guy a loser or something? No, he's not a loser. He's so mad. Piven does a great job. In fairness to him, he does a great job. So the episode deals with the pilot, obviously, but it also deals with, so like part one deals with Russell Dalrymple, which is such a funny name, who is the president of NBC, who's been on the show a number of times. He's obsessed with Elaine. They went out 2 months ago at this point, and that's the only time they've gone out. But he's absolutely obsessed with her and like calling her all the time. And like he just can't get her out of his mind. He's like, oh, it was something about you at that restaurant. Yeah, it was because she had great cleavage.
Right, like, right. She had her tits out.
Yeah, like well, I can't imagine I knew what it was. Like, yeah, I can. So that happens. And then there's also an issue with the casting of the shows and like the people who are going to play these key characters from Seinfeld. So the episode starts out with Elaine and Russell. She meets him at this restaurant after he called her a bunch of times. And he's just like, I can't get you out of my mind. You know, like I'm all about you. And she's not even listening, which is just great. And she's like, oh, this food is so good. And she's just eating and like drinking and just not listening. This poor nerd is pouring his heart out. Like you're the head of NBC. I'm pretty sure you could have sex with whoever you wanted. Like, you know, for the most, you know, bounds of reason. And yeah, they flash back to when they met. And he's just staring directly at her chest. I just can't stop thinking about you. Yeah, he's thinking about those titties. I mean, look, I get it. We've all been there, buddy.
Right.
I mean, also, are they really that, like, spectacular?
Like, the cleavage wasn't that great.
Guys. Like, it's not that really spectacular, dude. There are other women that have been on this show, even in this episode, I would argue, whose cleavage is much more intriguing, at least to me. So she basically kind of blows him off, but one of the things she says that has later impact is she says, you know, she tries to break it off with him and just makes up a lie that she doesn't like television and that like he would have to work for something like Greenpeace in order to capture her interest. And he's like, Greenpeace. Like, wow. Like if I was some rich dude and someone was like, you need to join Greenpeace, if for me to be interested, I'd be like, I guess I'll just go talk to one of these other gold diggers then. Like, I'm not giving up my job to fight whaling ships in the middle of the Pacific. Fuck you. No. That just sounds like a bad idea.
What is the craziest thing you've ever done?
To impress a woman?
To impress a woman.
Oof. I pretended to know way more about wine than I really did. You know that story. And look, it worked because she's married to me, so how about that? Sometimes you gotta lie. I live that lie. It's not a lie if you believe it.
There you go.
I knew more than just one wine, but I knew this one specific Georgian wine, and that's not from the state of Georgia, that is from the country of Georgia.
Right.
Look, a lot of people would be like, who cares if it's from Georgia?
Right. Like, they'd be like, some shit from Atlanta?
Right, exactly. Is Donald Glover drinking it? No, you heathens from the country. So it's from some region in Georgia. And I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, have you ever had this? I went to a party that she was throwing. She was like, and she's big into wine. She was like, oh, my God, I've never heard of that. And she's like, wrote it down. She still has the note that she wrote it down. She was like, that was just like so impressive. And I was like, yeah, it's so impressive. I'm like, I don't fucking know. It was like the 9 things I know about wine at the time. I know a lot more now, but that was my like fake dickish, like I know things kind of thing. But it worked.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh man,
there's so many.
I mean, there kind of is, but there kind of isn't because, like, I haven't had a lot of girlfriends or I've had women that I've been interested in, but not interested enough to pretend to, you know,
lie.
Right. I did.
I definitely have.
I did tell someone that I knew French. because she was studying Spanish and she was like, oh, do you know any languages? I think that's sexy, you know.
You're like, you goddamn right. I do. Like,
oh, well, you know, I dabble a little bit of French, you know.
look,
I mean, I did a little bit of French in high school, right?
That doesn't count.
Comment allez-vous? Like,
but you do know a number of French phrases now.
I mean, just enough to, and I would have to like know what I'm doing. Like when we went to Paris, I asked this woman. The problem is I don't know them. I just sound like I know it because voices are my thing, and so I hear the way things are supposed to sound.
That's not correct.
And like when I used to work with the PTO, like there were some Haitian people there. They speak fluent French.
Yeah.
And they were talking to this Russian guy who knew Russian, and you know, they were going back and forth. He was like, oh, how do you sound, you know, how do you pronounce this? How do you pronounce that? And they were trying to explain to him something in French that didn't necessarily make sense in English. And I was, you know, I was jumping in because I know a little bit of French. and I started pronouncing it. And the Haitian people were like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, that's pretty good. So when we go to Paris, and I'm like,
I got this.
Oh, I got this, right? Like, I'm going to ask this woman. I'm going to ask. We were taking a subway. And I'm going to ask this woman, which track do I need to get on, right? And I go up to her.
Dude, I can't even ask that in fucking New York.
I go up to her and I ask her, you know, I'm trying. I basically tell her I'm trying to get to the Eiffel Tower. We were in Versailles. I'm trying to get to the Eiffel Tower. Which one of these tracks do I need to get onto? Don't ask me how to say it now because I would have to look it up. But then if I look it up and say it, you'll be like, wow, you know fucking French.
Right.
So I asked this woman and this woman spits out to me the answer in English. Excuse me, in French. And I'm like, shit.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what the fuck you just said. And so then I ask her, does she speak this?
You tried to I'm show like, off and got fucking screwed.
Right, and I got fucking screwed because my wife is just standing there like, all right, Frenchie, go ahead. And so I go up there and she gives me the answer in French because apparently I impressed the train conductor, right? Or the right. Ticket taker, right? And then I'm just like, Parlez-vous anglais, s'il vous plaît? She was like, oh, it's over here. You know,
you fucking
idiot.
She was
so disappointed in me. She was like, oh, You're a fraud. You're a poser. So, yeah, I'm a poser, guys.
That's really funny. I love how you thought you didn't take the time to, like, okay, so this is how do you get to the proper track?
Comment obtenir, comment obtenir. Yeah, now I can't do it. Comment obtenez vous la? Oh shit!
Yeah,
uh
huh. Yeah, that's right. This guy sucks.
God damn it! I had it.
Look. Don't ask me. Fucking don't ask me. Any one of those, like, just write it down and just hold it up.
Fucking voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
There you go. Dude, that's all I know, man.
That's all I know, man.
Look, I know some Spanish. ¿Dónde está esta biblioteca?
Right.
Where is the library?
Again.
¿Dónde está mi amigos? Where are my friends?
Tetonas. Titties.
I think baño is bathroom. That's an important one to know.
Yeah.
Yep. Food and bathroom.
Toilette.
There you go. Oh, perfume? Like, that's not what I meant. Yeah, so is that...
Merde?
Merde? I don't know what that means.
Shit.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. So is lying that you speak a foreign language.
Yeah.
So you lied to this girl. Did she, like, challenge you on it? Did she ask you to say anything?
No, because she spoke... Oh, yeah, she asked me to say something. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, you know. Comment allez-vous? You know. Like, oh, that's that. Comment allez-vous? That means, how are you?
Right.
And she's like, oh, I'm fine. She's like, ça va très bien, merci. Et vous? Says, oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you? And, you know.
So you gave her the first day in French class fucking bullshit. You didn't even get anything.
I didn't get anything, like, specific or anything like that. Just
how,
like,
are you? I am fine. My friends and I are going to the library. Like, why are you talking like this? I got a lot. Look, in fairness, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, she didn't know. She spoke broken Spanish.
Yeah, like I do.
Yeah,
which is terrible.
I can speak broken French if I, you know.
Did you get this girl's phone number?
No, I did not. Because I have no game.
No. Well, then it wasn't worth it.
No.
You failed.
Lied for no reason.
Yep. Like, bitch, I don't know any French. Fuck you. So then we cut to a scene. Kramer and George and Jerry over at Jerry's apartment. And George is wearing sweatpants. Just keep in mind. I'm going to tell him myself because this is like straight college. George is wearing a golf shirt and sweatpants and tennis shoes. This is literally what I wore when I was in college, like my first semester, before I was like trying to get laid. I look like an idiot in hindsight, and so does George. And Jerry gives him a hard time because he's wearing sweatpants out. And he's like, he's giving up on life? Like, what the fuck, dude? Who wears sweatpants out? I agree. If you're going to the gym or something, that's fine. Like, I'm not wearing sweatpants to go to the store.
I'm not wearing sweatpants. The only time I wear sweatpants is when I'm going to bed.
You wear sweatpants to bed?
Yeah. If it's really cold, I'll put sweatpants on.
Oh, I have, like, pajama pants, like an adult.
I have pajama pants, but, you know, if I'm lounging around the house, like, yeah, if I'm having a dirty day.
Yeah, where you just don't shower all day?
Yeah, I just don't shower.
Oh, that's totally acceptable.
Right.
But that's what sweatpants in public signifies to me.
Right.
Like,
right.
And the only time you should be wearing them in public is if you're going to pick up food to go right back in the house.
Not even. I think you should put on some pants.
All right, that's fair. Look, I'm not going to argue against it. I don't think people should wear sweatpants outside of a gym or their own home.
Yeah, sweatpants just are like, fuck it.
It's basically your attitude. It's like,
yeah,
fuck life. I'm not going to really worry about, you know, trying to get here, you know, trying to do anything with it.
Yeah, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, I think I have like three pairs of sweatpants that I solely, most of the time, I don't even wear them to the gym necessarily. Like at the gym, I wear them over shorts because it's cold and I don't want to wear shorts like to my car and, you know, whatever, because it's 30 degrees outside. So I'll put sweatpants over it only to take them off at the gym, put them in the locker,
yeah,
work out, and then put them on to get back in my car.
Yeah.
Like, I don't work out in sweatpants either. Like, yeah, too big.
Yeah, like, I can't. You got no range.
Right. Or too much range. Or,
yeah, like, it's just, it's very odd. Yeah. I just don't wear them. Like, I don't wear them if I go to the gym. I don't wear them if I go running. I just don't.
Who the fuck runs in sweatpants? What are you, Steven Seagal?
There's a white woman in my neighborhood who runs in sweatpants every morning.
That's so weird. Like, I'll have track pants. Like, track pants are...
Yeah, no. She doesn't have track pants. I have track pants. No, she has sweat pants.
It's so weird. Also, it's a terrible name for our product, by the way. I just like to point that out.
Yeah, I don't want to think about anything down there sweating.
Yeah, like, I'm good. I'm totally good. So then we get... So George ends up at his therapist because he's freaking out that the pilot is actually going to do well. And so while he's there, his therapist is like, you have some sort of like white discoloration on your face. And he starts freaking out because he thinks God's trying to kill him and give him cancer because he's on the cusp of doing well because he's terrified of success.
I like how the therapist says, I thought you don't believe in God. He's like, I do for the bad stuff.
Yeah, like, well, I would argue that is most people.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what it is.
Yeah. Oh, I believe in God because I don't want to go to hell.
Right.
Okay. Nice cop out. So are you afraid of success? That's a good question, right? Like, you know, some people are. Some people are terrified of it.
No, I'm not afraid of success. I would rather be rich than famous, like, because those are the two main, you know, branches of success.
Right.
And
I would much rather be rich than famous.
Yeah, I don't need you to know me. I need you to pay me.
Yeah, that's literally it for me. Yeah.
I'm not afraid of success, but people who are afraid of success, generally, I find that people who say that just use that as a cop-out to not do shit.
Yeah, no, I largely agree with that. Yeah, I do think a lot of people just kind of use it as an excuse. I am not afraid of success at all. If anything, I'm hunting for it. Like, right. I'm going directly after it. I used to be, though. Like, I used to kind of be terrified of, like, you kind of, like, make inroads in something. You're like, this feels like this might work out. And that's kind of, it's a little scary, I think.
The only time something like that happens is I find that underachievers who are actually very smart just choose not to achieve is because it's like this. I find that smart people who do that are also lazy and they're like, oh, well, you know, I got an A on this. Well, now it's expected that I have to get an A on this forever and ever and ever. And
so I won't try.
So I won't try. And I just don't. I don't understand that mentality.
Yeah, I used to have not quite that, but some level of sort of like, ooh, I don't know. And now I certainly don't. If anything, it's weird because once I started grad school, I became a real overachiever. Like, I became that kid in my class where I'm just like, shut the fuck up, you asshole. Stop giving all the answers. Right. But I became an overachiever because I think it's because I'm trying to build a business. And, right. You know, it's like, if you're gonna do it, don't waste your fucking time. Like, do it right.
When you're in school, it's mandatory. When you right. do it here, it's like I'm paying for this.
Yeah, like this shit is shit just got real. Like, right. You know, and it is really funny because I never thought of myself as a person who would be that way about, especially about education. And now, like, not that I want to, not that I'm going to at fucking all, because I just don't have the time or the mental space to do it. But, like, I could totally see going to get a doctorate. I'm like, fuck yeah, I could do this. And then I think about it, I'm like, what are you, insane?
Yeah, you remember what your wife had to go through, and it's like,
fuck that. I remember what I had to go through as being married to somebody going through that. Fuck that, dude. It's a nightmare scenario. Like, no. I mean, maybe one day when I have way too much time on my hands. So the episode continues. George and his white discoloration on his face, and Jerry go over to the office of NBC to talk to the to see some of the casting for the roles. And you know, they bring in guys to play George, and like they bring in a guy, and he's like this handsome looking dude, and he's like, yeah, I'm here for the role of George.
Handsome, tall, full head of hair.
Right. And he's like, oh, I'm here to play George. And Jerry's like, what the fuck? Like, no.
Jerry has this look of, I just smelled shit on my face as soon as that guy comes in. Like, yeah. It's hilarious.
And the guy is not good.
No, he's not good.
No. Like, but he's like over the top.
I do find it very amusing that they are using quotes from the characters, actual, quote unquote, real lives,
yeah,
in the scripts. Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, it's like a triple meta sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, and of course, George is like, yeah, this guy is fucking nailing it. Like, this guy is perfect. Then they bring in Jeremy Piven for George, and he's got the same fucking bald haircut. Which, by the way, just as a side note, Jeremy Piven isn't bald now. So.
Fucking Propecia.
Yeah. Neither is Jason Alexander.
That's just very odd to
me. I'm like, dude, you know we watched this show for like 8 years, dude.
Right. Your show was on bald for almost a decade.
Like, we know you're bald. Who are you fooling, dude? Who are you fooling? Like, it's cool, man. Like, nobody gives a fuck. Like,
yeah, man.
But Piven comes in. He's wearing sweatpants and a golf shirt. And I can't express to you that this is how I used to dress, which is fucking ridiculous. And he does the dialogue from the episode where George gets the massage from the guy. And he fucking nails George perfectly. He's like, oh, he's touching and rubbing. And like, like he's like looking down and like freaking out. It's absolutely perfect. So then they bring in like this good-looking woman to play Elaine, who I would argue does not represent Elaine at all.
No, no.
Like Elaine is cute. I think she's actually a very good-looking woman, but like this woman looks like a fucking model.
Yeah. Like, she looks like a 90s model.
Yeah. She's very mediocre by today's standards, but back then she would have been a knockout. Jerry's like, "Oh, I'll read with the actress," because of course he will.
Right.
And of course Jerry is playing himself on this fictional TV show, which is ironic because obviously, or not ironic, but which is tied to him also playing himself on his own show, Seinfeld.
Right.
So the woman is actually pretty good. She does a pretty decent Elaine. She comes in, but she bags on all the bald dudes outside.
She comes in and says, it's like a bald convention out there.
She gets out one, maybe two lines, and George is like, thank you very much. We'll call you. Like, fuck off, lady. And she's like, oh my God, you see the guy wearing the sweatpants? And George is like, you son of a bitch. Then they start having people come in for Kramer. And then this one guy comes in, and he's pretty much perfect. And he ends up stealing the raisins off the table that they all had.
Every time I watch this episode, I have to make it a point to see exactly when he takes those raisins.
Yeah, no, he definitely
does. He definitely takes those raisins, but yeah, I have to make it a point. I was like, that right there, you fucker.
Well, it is funny because there's a whole thing about him getting really indignant about taking the raisins later, and it's like, dude, but you did take them. Which, look, I can understand that. I once got caught sneaking into a movie, and then when they busted me, I was like, why would I sneak into a movie? Like, why would I do that? And I got like super indignant. Meanwhile, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I totally got busted. And I definitely deserve to get kicked out. Then Kramer actually comes in to audition for himself. And he does a terrible job of reading the lines, which is hilarious. And then he's like, oh, excuse me, I need to go to the bathroom. And then he just runs out and just never comes back to the interview. And you come to find out that he is incredibly constipated and he cannot take a shit, which is unfortunate. Been there, brother. Been there. So fast forward to Elaine and Jerry are at Monk's, and Elaine starts to notice that all of the waitresses at Monk's all have big tits, basically.
Yeah.
All the same kind of proportions. And she starts, you know, going on her 90s social justice warrior fucking rant to Jerry, and she's like, this is ridiculous and everything else. And Jerry's like, looks pretty good to me. What is the argument?
Was Hooters around back then?
Probably. Huh. Probably. And it, there, it's funny because later on she goes and talks to the, like, she goes to complain about it to like some bureau that's supposed to oversee, you know, unfair hiring or something. And she says it's like a, what did you say? A Russ Meyers film?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had never, I didn't know what that was when I originally saw this. So I Googled Russ Meyers. Did you?
Yeah.
One, his videos are available on Pornhub in their entirety, by the way. I would just like, just as a side note.
God.
That guy really likes big tits.
Yeah.
Like every movie was just like Chesty LaRue's Revenge. I was like, holy shit. Like this guy likes titties as much, if not slightly less than I do. But yeah, like this guy, the clearly the hirer is all about busty women, as we will find out later. So then we cut to, you know, sort of Jerry and George trying to figure out all about the casting, and then they see Kramer and he's talking about how he's he can't go to the bathroom or he's all constipated, and they're just like, why don't you just have some like brand or something like that? He's like, oh, I've done all of that. And he's like, well, why don't you do the big E, an enema? I just go to the doctors, dude. I'm not doing a home enema. Like, yeah. I'm not doing that. No, just get that tea. That tea that'll fucking like rip your fucking guts out. You know, it's like the I can't shit tea.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can't do it. I've been constipated before to the point where I was a young child and to the point where I went to the doctor because, you know, my parents, you know, they didn't know what to do. And I was constipated to the point where
this is going to be terrible.
They bent me over a table and they took one of those hammers that you use to test your reflexes. You know, you kick yourself, they hit you in the knee, and he hit me in the ass with it, like in the asshole. And it sounded like, like it sounded like that. Like that's how fucking compact it was, man. And I forget what they had to do, but they had to like
hold you and shake you until it came out.
Yeah, like they had to kind of like they had to give me like a lot of like it wasn't an enema or anything like that, but I had to take the stuff that was supposed to like break all that shit up. And it was but yeah, it was like that's what it was like. It was, man.
A rock. Yeah, I had to take some medication when I got my shoulder surgery, and it had two side effects. I had to take a medication that made me into an insane insomniac. I couldn't sleep, which is great when you have a fucking a sling. You have to keep your arm in a sling. That's a goddamn nightmare scenario. I'm like, I just want to sleep, just not think about how much this hurts. It kept me up, and then the pain medication I was on made me incredibly constipated. So I was like, oh great, I feel like garbage and I can't sleep. Like it was awful. It was absolutely awful. So I had to take a third medication to eventually get the rocks out of my ass. So enough about constipation talk. So then the woman who gets hired to play Elaine wants to like really, you know, she's trying to pull the best Daniel Day-Lewis impression and like really become the role.
Yeah.
And so she invites Jerry out to dinner and she's like, I want to know everything that Elaine has experienced. Everything. And he's like, everything? Like trying to catch this dick? And basically she's like, yeah, this is, I want to fuck you so I know what it's like to be Elaine.
And she
starts asking him all these bizarre questions like, oh, does Elaine like to talk during sex? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, she likes to talk dirty. He's like, no, just like normal mundane shit, like how's your day, you know, how you doing, that kind of stuff, which is so weird. I knew a guy, him and his girlfriend did that. I'm like, the sex between the two of you must be lame as fuck,
right? How fucking boring and mechanical is that?
Yeah, like, so yeah, I was at Costco and you good? All right, yeah, anyway, yeah, so I bought some avocados and they were on sale. Like, no, dude, I'm having sex. I'm working.
Yeah, that's awkward, man.
Like
I'm working up a sweat.
You know, yeah, exactly.
I ain't got time to talk.
No.
Fuck out of here.
Grunting at best.
Right.
This is the best you're going to get out of me.
I sound like I'm retarded when I sex. The fuck out of here, man.
They said that in that Shoop song by Salt-N-Pepa. So Kramer meets with the guy playing him, and he's like, oh, let me tell you all of these things about me, and this is, you know, this is what I like to do and all this stuff. And the guy's like, I'm going to play the character how I want to play it. Fuck off. Like, basically. And the guy is a real dick about it, but you know what? I get that. Like, yeah, absolutely. Man. Fuck you, dude.
He's an actor, man. Like, don't fuck with my process.
Yeah.
Get hell out of here.
And look, the guy does a pretty good Kramer, I have to say. So fast forward to George having a run-in with the guy when they're getting ready to do the pilot. And he's like, no, I want you to, you know, emphasize this word or not. And it was funny because George is actually correct in the notes. But the guy's like, yeah, I'm not taking notes from you. And he's like, and if you get in my face again, like, I'll kick your ass.
I mean, look, I kind of get it, right? Like, that guy, like, George isn't the director.
Right.
He's the writer. And yeah, the writer has a vision. But I ain't got to listen to you. Now, I probably should, but I don't have to.
No. I think I might have been, I think I'd be somewhere between these guys. Like, I kind of would have been like, yeah, okay. And then I would have just done what I wanted to do.
I would have said, bring it up with the director.
Yeah.
And then, because that's who I take direction from. The director.
It's in the title.
Get the hell out of my face. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, like, he doesn't like him anyway, right? Like, no, was this before or after he accused him again of taking the raisins?
This is when he accuses him.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we got off on a bad foot. Take the raisins, you didn't take the raisins.
George can't help himself to keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
Like, because he was at a point with the guy where it would have probably been okay. And he's like, whether you did or didn't. And like, you're still saying he did.
Yeah. I see a lot of George in you.
Yeah, that seems about right.
There's certain shit you just can't let go.
No. Not as of late. Not as of late.
Like, I'm thinking of things like very recently where it's just like, yeah, I know I'm being a dick. So what? Then did you just be a dick?
Yeah. Like, literally a recording we did yesterday. Yeah, I don't care. Be offended. Like, that's like my new motto in 2017. It's that baseball player who's like that shrug fucking emoji, like that, and like be offended. Like, sorry, everybody. I just don't care. I try to be a nice person. I try. I often fall short. So I'm trying to, because this is a pretty long episode. So they're getting ready to shoot the actual pilot. They're in front of a live studio audience. Everybody's there. Elaine comes in a fake wig because she doesn't want Russell to see her when she's there. And like, everybody's freaking out. George is kind of freaking out.
The guy playing George is freaking out.
Right. And he's like, I don't remember any of my lines.
And Jerry's like, yeah, this is it. Like, you're doing George. Like, George does this all the time.
And it was so funny. The guy's like, no, dude, I'm like literally freaking out. Like, so Elaine comes and she's got this blonde wig on, which looks super obvious, I think. And this guy behind her is like, Elaine from high school? Oh my God. And like, here she's trying to be like secretive. And like, this guy was able to pick her out. He's like, you haven't changed since high school. Like, God damn it. And meanwhile, Kramer is at the store buying a home enema kit. Which to that I say no.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Absolutely not. Now, there was a moment we skipped over where Elaine is the fake Elaine on a TV show is like, Jerry, do you wanna break up with me? And he's like, do you want me to break up with you? And she's like, are you breaking up with me? He's like, okay, we're broken up. Like, I don't really care. And she's like, she's doing it to like be more into the role, but right. Jerry just can't give a fuck. Because right. She's a crazy person?
She is a psycho. Like, she wants to get into this relationship just to break up, just to be friends, because that's what her character
did. Right.
It's again, it's just very meta.
Yeah. It's good. Like, this is a really good episode, and it plays well, especially if you're a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
So there's several callbacks, and then George, of course, accuses the guy of stealing the raisins yet again, because he can't help himself. And when Jerry goes to like talk to the audience before they start the pilot, fucking crazy Joe Davola comes out of nowhere, jumps off the balcony, yells what John Wilkes Booth yelled when he killed Abraham Lincoln, and tries to beat Jerry up because he's insane. Because he's absolutely nuts.
Oh, Jesus.
So then sort of we cut into part two where Kramer comes in and he's like singing and dancing, like feeling good because he gave himself an enema and it worked. again, no. Just go to the doctor, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not shoving a homemade garden hose up my ass and blasting hot water up there. Like, I'm good. I'll let a professional do it. Then randomly they're all sitting to watch the pilot on TV, the four main characters, and they find Jerry's dad's wallet that he thought got stolen from him in a previous episode where he was like, my wallet's gone. He stole my wallet. And so like that was kind of a weird meta moment. That
it's a very odd callback to begin the callback of callbacks for the entire season. Because they're watching this show, as you said, and everyone that they've interacted with throughout the season returns in a shot showing that they have watched, that they are watching the pilot.
Right.
Like you got Ping, the Chinese food guy, and his sister.
I thought he was dark and mysterious.
Yeah. And she's like real good judge of character. You got Susan and her girlfriend. You got the Drake and the Drakeette. You got Mr. and Mrs. Seinfeld. You got Calvin Klein, Sidra. They're real and they're spectacular.
Yeah.
The
old retired crazy guy and his like Jamaican housekeeper.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very cool.
And the Virgin.
Yeah. So and with in bed with JFK Jr.
Oh, that's who that's supposed to be. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize, but that's right because she ends up with him.
That's who she lost her virginity to.
Yeah. Good for her.
It's a good idea, and it's an idea that they would revisit at the end of the series.
Yeah, it works. It totally works.
I think it works. A lot of people didn't think it would.
Yeah, well, they're fucking idiots. I love that. I thought he was dark and mysterious. Oh, and Bubble Boy and his parents.
Yeah, no Bubble Boy.
Turn this off. No. Give me the remote. So, I love that character. He's so good. So yeah, everybody's watching it and enjoying it one way or the other. And the pilot episode is the guy who gets assigned to being his butler by the judge. By the way, the Sandra, these tits are real and they're spectacular. She's sitting with Sal Bass, who Kramer thought was Salman Rushdie. It's just fucking hilarious. He just changed one fish for another. So fucking dumb. So they're all like super excited about it and like everything is like working out. And then they're like, oh, that was really great. It was a great episode. So then they all head down to Monk's to get something to eat. And the place is packed because the two guys from that bureau, they were supposed to check on the hiring practices of the guy at Monk's. They told all their friends because all the women have huge tits and are attractive. And so they told all their guy friends. So the place is crowded. And so Elaine goes up to the owner. And she's like, I know what you're up to, buddy. Like, I'll figure all the, you know, I figured all this out. And he's like, these women are my daughters.
Like, they all look alike. Well, yeah, they're my daughters.
And he's
they
like,
should all look alike.
And she's like, oh, I didn't know that.
Now, was this after we find out the fate of the pilot?
No, this is not after that. That's coming up. So. Or maybe it.
Yeah, because right after the show was over, they get a call from the new president of NBC. They were like, "Well, where's Russell?" I don't know. Russell went crazy. Like Russell went pussy whipped, and he went crazy because some bitch spurned him.
Yeah,
and
by showing her cleavage,
right? And so she's like, "I'm the new president," and Russell and I didn't see eye to eye, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm axing your show.
He was like, it was just on 2 minutes ago. I was like, sorry. And so, yeah, they canceled the pilot immediately. And we cut to a raft with three men on it, one being Russell, and these guys are from Greenpeace, and they're on a raft trying to block a whaling ship, I think off the coast of Japan or something.
Yeah.
And Russell goes overboard and dies.
Russell dies, dude.
And the other guy, on the Greenpeace ship is like, I'll remember her name. I'll remember it was Elaine. And that guy is Larry David.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So yeah, that is the culmination of season four. So season four and five, I think, are like two of the biggest seasons.
I think season five might be my favorite.
Because season five is pretty strong.
I think season five overall is my favorite. Like, there are some, you know, standout episodes in the later seasons, but every episode of season five, I absolutely love. Every single one of them. I'm looking at the titles, and I absolutely know what the entire show is. All right,
run down the titles.
The Mango.
I don't think I... Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I do.
The Puffy Shirt.
Yeah.
The Glasses. The Sniffing Accountant. The Briss. The Lip Reader. Non-Fat Yogurt.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of these, you know immediately, and they're all hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think season
five. The Stall, The Opposite, The Marine Biologist. Like,
The Marine Biologist. Look, The Marine Biologist is literally my favorite episode. It's because it has the greatest ending of any episode, period.
So there you go. The Fire. Yo, I can't.
I told him, easy, big fella. Yeah, yeah, all right. That's cool. So next week, we'll be back with the start of season five. What's the first episode in season five?
The Mango.
The Mango. That's a good one. It's about erectile dysfunction. All right. We will be back next week. Sorry we were off for 2 weeks, but we promise we will be back in full, at full steam.
Yep.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?